You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Today, part two of a three-part look at the career of Broadway composer-lyricist Maury Yeston. Yeston is perhaps best known for his remarkable score for Nine, the musical version of Fellini's famous movie, Eight and a Half. This program was originally broadcast in 1982.
Have there been a lot of songs cut along the way?
Not a lot. No. Mostly additions. It's very rarely that one has written an awful song. And it's simply terrible and we can't use it. It's always, I think, in the professional theater, that the song is not apt. Very often, it's the very best work that you do that's your enemy and that has to go. And it's often very difficult for writers to cut it because you fall in love with your work. Two fascinating cases in Nine were the two songs originally written for the mistress, Carla. The first one was called Let It Be Love, in which she calls him up on the phone and says, I wish you would finally tell me that you absolutely love me. And the second was a song called Belongings, in which Guido explains to her in the second act, what do you want me to do with my wife and my belongings? I have to go back to her. I can't stay with you. And again, this is an absolutely wonderful suggestion from an inspiring director. Tommy Toon said to me, this woman is so marvelously intelligent and urbane, and she's just like the wife who was just like the actress, and don't you think you could rethink how you've written this role and make her different? You know, she should call him up while he's with his wife or while he's with his producer and try to turn him on with a dirty phone call. And 3 days later, I said, I have something to play for you. I had written A Call from the Vatican. He said, yeah, that's right.
Pronto.
Signor Contini, telephone. Go ahead.
I was lazing around my bedroom when an idea occurred to me. I thought you might be wondering about Guido, who's not wearing any clothes. I'm not, my darling, who's afraid to kiss your toes. I'm not your mama.
I'm not sure yet. It's about my film. It's from the Vatican. Go ahead, Monsignor.
Coochie, 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 coo. I've got a plan for what I'm gonna do to you.
Oh!
enough to be enough for now.
Anita Morris performing A Call from the Vatican from the score to Nine. You're listening to Anything Goes with guest Maury Yeston. Maury spoke about the audition process in which the 21 extremely talented women were cast for the Company of Nine.
The women were absolutely marvelous. We asked them to be prepared to sing not only their audition song, but a song in a foreign language.
Oh.
Because we are a European piece and we wanted to make sure that they had that potential. And some of the songs in European languages were hysterically funny. Somebody came in and sang a song called Siffler en travaillant, which is whistle while you work.
So she had translated it? Or
that was she had translated. That was Elena Warren Zachary, who plays one of the Germans.
Oh,
she's
God.
Wonderful. And, of course, people come in and they knock you off your chair. Liliane Montevecchi arrived on our stage on her way back to Paris, I guess, from Hollywood. And she said, hello, I've just come from Hollywood. I went there to give them a chance to make me a star, but they did not want to, so I am here. I am looking for a job. Any job will do, even some small role, as long as I am on the stage for 5 minutes. Alone.
Alone.
And I don't know who it was. It may have been Tommy Tune. It may have been Arthur Cope. But somebody said, couldn't she be the producer? She's so electric. And she talks so wonderfully. And we said, all right, after all, the producer is a non-singing role. And, it didn't even matter how she sang. And we didn't even hear her sing. And we offered her the role of the producer. And when I heard her sing one note, I knew that she was... as much as we have left of that which we love dearly in Maurice Chevalier, and so very wonderful in her own right.
So you wrote Folies Bergères for her?
Oh, absolutely. Folies Bergères is something that happened on a tablecloth of, it's true, of the Century Café. I was sitting there and thinking about the scene, and I said, well, gee, why? She's a French producer. Why shouldn't she say, Contini, I thought you were going to make a musical movie. Make me something like Folies Bergères, give me singing. And I wrote Folies Bergères.
Le cinéma today is in a crisis. Directors are so existentialist. The movies are not where they're at trans prices. If no one sings a love song when they're kissed, Contini, I want a musical. Love cannot be love without less singing. A string, a clarinet, a saxophone. Take a lesson from this old Parisian and the finest entertainment she has known. What a showing of color, costume, and dancing. Not a moment in life could be more entrancing than an evening you spend at Folies Bergères. Folies Bergères. Not a soul in the world would be in despair when he is glancing at the fabulous stage de Folies Bergères. Think of the footlights, bright and gleaming. A striptease, the cancan we all adore. Life is too short without dreaming. And dreams are what the cinema is for. Folies Bergères. La lumière, les jolies petites ça les belles bouquetières, sur la passerelle des folies bergères.
Karen Akers was known as a, primarily as a cabaret singer, not a stage performer. Why was she given the role of Guido's wife, Louisa?
All kinds of wonderful reasons. In the audition process, very often people will come in to audition for you and move you surprisingly. Karen, who is beautiful, statuesque, tall, marvelously composed, aristocratic, has herself been educated in northern Italy and has what might be called a northern Italian aristocratic bearing, came in to audition for us, and she sang a song and destroyed us. She destroyed us with her directness, with her absolute lack of pretense. But her voice was considerably lower than what might be called the tessitura that I had conceived of the wife's role to be in. And so I asked her to come back, and I tried various transpositions of the song that the wife would sing, and made some alterations. And I was terribly happy with her sincerity, her musical brilliance, and her bearing for the part of my colleagues. I think Tommy Toon said it best. She is a wife. There's something about her personal dignity and the way it communicates to an audience on a stage that makes her somehow unassailable. She retains her dignity in spite of the fact that her husband is playing around with two, three, four different women. And she manages a slow burn to anger that lasts almost an hour and a half before she explodes.
My husband makes movies to make them. He lives a kind of dream in which his actions aren't always what they seem. He may be on to some unique romantic theme. Some men catch fish, some men tie flies, some earn their living baking bread. My husband, he goes a little crazy making movies instead. My husband spins fantasies. He lives them, then gives them to you all. When he was working on the film on ancient Rome, he made the slave girls take the gladiators home. Some men buy stocks, some men punch clocks, some leap where others fear to tread. My husband, as author and director, makes up stories in his head. Guido Contini, Luisa Contini, number one genius and number one fan. Guido Contini, Luisa Contini, daughter of well-to-do Florentine clan. Long ago, 20 years ago, once the names were Guido Contini, Luisa Del Forno, actress with dreams and a life of her own, passionate, wild, and in love in Livorno, singing with Guido all night on the phone. Long ago, someone else ago, oh, he needs me so, and he'll be the last to know. My husband makes movies to make them. He makes himself obsessed.
He works for weeks on end without a bit of rest. No other way can he achieve his level best. Some men read books, some shine their shoes, some retire early when they've seen the evening news. My husband only rarely comes to bed. My husband makes movies instead. My husband makes movies.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Contini.
Praise by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Several critics came down on Raul Julia's voice, which I personally think he has a great voice. Mm-hmm. And what he doesn't sing, he acts through, certainly. Were you at all worried about his singing abilities when you cast him?
Not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, the moment we went into rehearsal, we immediately put Raul in touch with a wonderful musical teacher, vocal coach. His name is Tom Hageman. He's here in New York. And Tom taught Raul how to use his voice in the best possible sense so that the more he sings, the stronger his voice gets. Singing and acting at the same time is probably one of the most difficult things one can do. And there's always a trade-off. There's always a kind of a compromise. But in cases of people like Raoul, I don't think you have to make that compromise. It could be that the odd critic came on a night when his voice was scratchy. Don't forget that I think that Guido Contini is probably one of the most demanding male roles ever in terms of range and variety and length of song and the number of songs that have to be sung. It's one of the most demanding male roles in the musical theater. I couldn't be more pleased with how it's all worked out. I think he sounds wonderful on the record. Very, very strong.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to picture anybody else doing it.
Yes, it is.
I thought about who could you have used, and
he's right. He's boyish. He's vulnerable. He looks like Mastroianni. He moves beautifully. He's a wonderful actor. He's got passion, spontaneity, and interestingly enough, his accent continually works to his advantage in this role. Respectfully disagree with John Simon, who said it was the wrong accent, that he didn't seem to him like an Italian accent.
It's a flavoring, which adds. Tell me about that fabulous new singing ensemble, the Maury Tabernacle Choir.
The Maury Tabernacle Choir. Well, when you're alone with your little TIAC, it's difficult sometimes to ask people to conceive of a counterpoint. And very often we conceive musical numbers that require things like countermelody, that require the sound of massed voices. And what with the technology of home taping these days, very often when I do write a number that that involves multiple voices. I simply take myself and I sing all the parts myself, and it's my family calls it the Maury Tabernacle Choir, and you know, to do the Germans of the Spa, I simply sing all the parts of the Germans at the Spa, generally at breakneck speed, four times faster than it will ever appear in any show.
Renata, take the sheets and the pillowcases from the east wing and bring them over to the west wing. And Alfredo, take the blankets from the north wing and bring them over to the south wing. And for Christ's sakes, hurry up, they'll be here any minute. Clear the decks, be alert.
We'll clear the decks, we'll be alert.
Fix your tie, fix your skirt.
We'll fix our tie and skirt.
Be prepared to change a foreign coin. Deutschmarks, francs,
kroner,
pfennigs,
shillings.
You all know what to do.
We all know what to do.
They're on their way, you know who.
They're on their way, you know who.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben, acht, neun. The Germans at the Spa, the Germans at the Spa. They'll soon be arriving here to spend a lost weekend in Shangri-La. The Germans at the Spa descend from German mounts. They come to take the waters with the daughters of Italian counts. How we love to have the Germans at the Spa, carefully avoiding any slight faux pas. For the Germans at the Spa, for the Germans at the Spa, for the Germans. Alles must be perfect. The Germans are coming, the Germans are coming. Roll out the Wiener Schnitz, roll out the Wiener Schnitz. They'll soon be arriving, the Spa will be thriving. They'll come, they'll sit, they'll schwitz, they'll come, they'll sit and schwitz. Be sure there's lots of German music playing.
What Tommy Tune can do that so few people can do is that he can take music and make a picture of that music on a stage. That's one of his gifts, and that alone gives us a wonderful marriage between what you hear and what you see. And what you see completes what you hear, and vice versa. It's the base, and I think Arthur Kopit's work works to that end as well. The basic rule that Peter Stone taught me, the great book writer and screenwriter, about musical theater is that you can't possibly hope to succeed unless you're all working on the same show.
How did you write the song about St. Sebastian's, which is about Catholic guilt learned? And
well, it's really interesting. So many people have come up to me over the years and said, how did you boil down the quintessence of that awful experience I had at Catholic parochial school, and yet how inspiring it was, the wonderful thing, the stained glass, the Bach chorales. How did you do that? I mean, what Catholic parochial school did you go to? Now, I went to a yeshiva in northern New Jersey, but I based the song completely on my experiences of going to the yeshiva. It's really true that all parochial schools are unhappy. Yeah. In the same way.
It's doesn't a transferable matter. Experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the St. Sebastian School for Jews is the subtext of that song. It's a prayer we never learned sung in Hebrew, not a prayer we never learned sung in Latin.
I remember St. Sebastian with a memory most unkind. I can hear the bells I heard when I went there inside the church. Inside my mind, the bells of Saint Sebastian only ring once in your ears. But if you're very young when you hear them, their sound can last 100 years. But the music of the ringing was the music of our singing. When we were singing carols, carols, carols. Each day at Lord's, each night at Vespers, from every tower the hour would be told. For those of us at St. Sebastian, no longer young and not yet old.
Why did you go to her?
To see what she was like.
Each day at St. Sebastian in the classroom we would hear that devils lurk behind every corner. If you tried to look, they would disappear. The nuns at St. Sebastian tried to teach the facts of life, explaining there are two kinds of women. One was a whore, one was a wife. But the music of the ringing was a different world that opened through our singing. When we were singing carols, carols, carols. They rang at dawn, they rang at midnight. Drums were rounded, they sounded down the nave. For all the souls of little boys at St. Sebastian, too young to say. Prayer we never learned, sung in Latin, then a midday nap in a makeshift bed. Then the music of the ringing, then the music of our singing, and we were singing again. Never spare the word. But in the music.
Saint Sebastian, we look for God.
Guido, where are you running to?
Raul Julia leading the company of nine in The Bells of St. Sebastian's, a song written by my guest today on Anything Goes, Maury Yeston. You've been listening to part two of a three-part look at the career of talented composer-lyricist Maury Yeston. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.